And we start with a few headlines that you absolutely need to know. At the top of the list, the Panthers are expected to release Cam Newton. We've been hearing about the trade rumors. We've been trying to figure out what it looks like to be the quarterback there. We know they've signed Teddy Bridgewater, so as a result, they're going to make a quarterback change. Well, we now know the Carolina Panthers are expected to release Cam Newton on Tuesday, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So that ends a 9-year relationship with the 2015 NFL MVP. At this point, he will be free to sign once he has been released wherever he should choose. Also, yesterday it was a rumor. Today it is official. The Tokyo Olympics officially postponed until 2021. That's right. We all know because of the coronavirus pandemic that we've been looking at the Olympics squarely to figure out what's going to happen in Tokyo. We know never before had the Olympic Games been postponed or canceled for something other than war, but rarely has the world come to this sort of a halt. So we now that the opening ceremony had been planned for July 24th, it will now be 2021. Those are the headlines you need to know. And it kicks us straight into some Straight Talk. Straight Talk has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. I want your reactions to the Olympics being postponed a year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We always let you guys chime in on your take with First Take Your Take. Today we're going to let you kind of chime in as you go. You can tweet me also at Jason Fitz. What's your reaction to the fact that the Olympics will now be happening in 2021? So we know obviously that the Olympics went from a rumor yesterday to now being confirmed that they will be postponed. That, of course, is a big chunk of what they've been talking about today on First Take. I want you to hear a little bit as Stephen A. and Max went off on the International Olympic Committee for taking so long to make this decision.
Well, I think they dragged their feet a little bit too long, but nevertheless, even though they came late to the situation, they're here. And the reality is it was the right decision. There should not have been a delay. This decision should have been made, to be quite honest with you, at least a week ago, or at least around the time that the NBA and the NHL had suspended their play, that Major League Baseball has suspended its play. Here's the reality of the situation. You have individuals, athletes that have been training for years upon years for this moment. So what happens? You know, the Olympic Games hadn't been canceled. They're sitting up there flying in the wind. I don't think the IOC realizes that by delaying this decision, you may have jeopardized even more individuals because you knew that those athletes suspecting that the games may indeed continue definitely had to be ready, which means that the level of safety in terms of social distancing that you were asking the world to practice, they were unable to do so because they had to go out there and train and to make sure that they didn't dip in terms of their preparation in any way. So you were jeopardizing those athletes by not suspending these games. You were jeopardizing them by putting them in a position where they felt compelled to continue to train and what have you. And by doing that to them, you may have endangered even more people throughout this world because of your ill-advised decision to delay making this very decision that you should have made. So it's inexcusable. It's unfortunate that they took this long, but thank God they finally reached this conclusion because I spoke to a couple of Olympians and they swore up and down this was the decision that they wanted. It was the right decision. It was just a bit late.
The IOC gets zero credit from me for making any decision because they didn't make a decision except for the wrong one. There was a chance to make a decision with everything you just laid out, Stephen A. There was a chance. So Molly, Stephen A., when people say things in the media like, well, they finally came to this. No, the time is the whole thing. When you make the call is the decision. You know who gets credit for coming to the right decision? Adam Silver. Adam Silver, he was decisive. He did when it became obvious what the inevitable would be. He made the call. He gets credit, not Mark Emmert. The NCAA didn't do a damn thing. They canceled the games. No, they had no choice. The IOC here had no choice. So they made no decision other than postponing making the decision. That's the choice they made. They deserve and receive from me at this moment precisely zero credit.
It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Max Kellerman, again, continues to pound a narrative that is not correct, though. I mean, we can say what we want about the NBA being first to cancel, and he says that the NCAA canceled because they had no choice. The NBA canceled because they had no choice, because they had a player actually fail a test right before a game. Come on. They still had fans in the crowd. My God, every single week, I'm going to keep fighting this because we keep trying to prop Adam Silver up like he's the second coming for doing what no one else had the foresight to do, when in fact, Adam Silver's hand was forced. The Olympic Committee's hand was not. Why are we suddenly turning around and yelling at the Olympics, which are months away, for taking their time and making a calculated decision? And at what point did all of us talking gas bags become the medical community that was capable of making these decisions? I mean, I realize that there are bigger things going on in the world than sports right now. We should also realize, to these sports, if you are the Olympics and you're the Olympic Committee, you're sitting down and saying, oh my God, we've never canceled or postponed the Olympics for a reason other than war. How can we keep the Olympics going? Why is that the wrong thing to say about something that is still months away? And why are we suddenly in the mode of critiquing sports for being calculated in the decisions they make, and suddenly praising sports that had their hands forced? I will continue to die on this hill to do anything I can to correct the narrative that Adam Silver is smarter than everybody else, when in fact his hand was simply forced. In the meantime, first, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I am fired up about this. Obviously, they continued to discuss it. Stephen A. and Max were joined by International Olympic Committee member Dick Pound when they talked about the delay in postponing the games. And Pound, even he was open with the process and why they went through what they went through. Check it out.
It's very hard to move something as big and universal as the Olympics. There were some hopes that countries would react faster than they have to the virus, and that perhaps it could be brought under early control. That unfortunately has not happened, and I think it made it inevitable for the IOC and Tokyo to say, look, we can't risk everybody's health at this time by having the game, so let's rejig it for a year from now and hope the virus is under control by then.
Sir, thank you for being on the show, but forgive me for asking this question. When you talk about, you know, it was a tough call, some people would sit up there and think about the fact that, you know, the federal government, state and local officials have been preaching for over a week now about the importance of social distancing. When you listen to some of these Olympic athletes, they talked about working out with one another. They talked about the fact that they would be exposed to one another because obviously they still had to train because they were anticipating that the games would still go on. So in light of that reality, I mean, how are you guys feeling right now about the fact that it took you this long to make a decision? Because that's a week, more than a week, that's gone by, and potential exposure may have actually taken place because the games had not been postponed or suspended.
Yeah, I think some of those measures by governments have actually predated some of these things, so that the restrictions were already in place, and athletes who are conscious of the risk of the virus were keeping that social distance. It might affect the particular training activities they could do, but our responsibility to everybody was to wait and make sure that there was no likelihood that the games could proceed in July of this year, and then take the decision in cooperation with the Japanese authorities that, the public health issues override even something as important as the Olympics. Let's redo it. We'll come back in a year, hope that the virus is under better control, and we can have the Olympics as an affirmation of the idea that it doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. What's really important is how many times you get up and carry on. So that's what we're hoping to do, and I think that will be a good message if we can put it together.
And that this would not affect the date of any Olympics going forward, correct? In other words, if it's in 2021, then the following Olympics will be in the years that they have normally been, yes?
That's right, yes. You just sort of jig the time forward by a year, but the 2002 games in the Winter Games in China will go ahead in 2002, and then Paris in 2024, and we should be back on schedule.
Sir, Lolo Jones was on Get Up, the show Get Up on ESPN earlier this morning that precedes us, and she talked about how drug testing had stopped for Olympians. Is that true? And if indeed that is true, How come, you know, again, we talk about the delay in the decision. What was that about? Why was there no drug testing that was taking place? I think the answer is obvious, but I'm still asking anyway. Why no drug testing was taking place, and how did you all anticipate that would affect the Olympics in the event that the games were going to take place?
Well, there are two things. One is that the testing was reduced as a result of the restrictions caused by the virus. The second is that sort of on-the-spot drug testing doesn't catch as many people as investigations, as whistleblowers, and as the athlete biological passport can do it. So there are lots of ways that doping can be detected without catching somebody on the spot providing a urine sample. So I think it's important to have that in place, but frankly, far more doping violations result from non-analytical positive tests.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, the Olympics have officially been postponed. That is now official. They've been postponed to 2021. And I'll say it again. I'm not sure why we think these decisions have to be made quickly when, in fact, they're trying to do the right thing by a lot of people. I can only imagine that that decision is difficult. Now, that's my thought on it, but I want to get some expertise on it. And what better way to do that than to hop over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line and talk to a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Christian Taylor joins us, one in 2012, 2016, current world champion in the triple jump. Christian, thanks for the time. I appreciate you coming on to give me a little insight. So what's your reaction to the news that the Olympics have been postponed for a year?
Hey, Jason. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, of course, it's difficult. Yeah, it's a difficult position that we've all been put in, to look at the big picture, it's actually bigger than sport. We've got to think about the safety, the health care, the well-being of participants and society as a whole, spectators, the lot. And so this decision needed to be made. It was very difficult that it was dragged on for so long, but nonetheless, we were at this point. And yeah, to be honest, as a person that thought that the postponement needed to happen, I'm very happy with this announcement.
You said that it's difficult to drag on so long. Do you think the decision could have been made quicker?
Yeah, absolutely. If the travel bans, you know, occurred, and it just, if you look at the way everything was going, you know, we weren't on top of the virus. And so I think we needed to take that into consideration. How could we even talk about competitions? How could we talk about the games when, you know, some people are even stuck at home? You know, we just spoke about the doping, the drug testing issue, and having the even playing field. All these things have to be taken into consideration, but all in all, we have to get on top of the virus first before we can think of anything going into place.
We're talking to Christian Taylor. He's a two-time Olympic gold medalist on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. So how does the one-year delay as an athlete, how does it affect you?
Yeah, so of course, you know, this now gives us a new timeline. You know, you have to shift the focus and you know, obviously preparations are still, you have to consider everything, travel, training, all these things still are not back to the normal. But, you know, we have now the 1 year mark and the countdown just, you know, it just changes. But I'm happy it was not canceled, you know, and we just have to move forward, just be positive, you know, be optimistic and just prepare for Tokyo 2021.
And that's interesting to me, Christian, because I've talked to some former Olympians that talk about how you ramp your training to be ready at a perfect time, that you got to be sort of at peak at the exact time. So when you see this announcement come and now it gives you an over a year, does that give you enough time to sort of re-ramp your body to be ready at the right time?
It's difficult, but to be really honest, this is part of life and you have to roll with the punches. You have to work through adversity. Of course, the schedule has changed, but there's always going to be those rainy days that you can't make it to the gym or the track or, you know, and so it is never a perfect scenario, you know, and we all wish and we, you know, if we didn't have injuries, if we didn't have things that we had to fight through, yeah, things would be different, but this is just the realities of what's going on. Everyone has to deal with the change. And as I said, you just have to have a positive mindset. Go out there knowing in 1 year, you're going to have your opportunity. Coaches really have to get on their job and athletes have to trust that process. We're all in the same boat and just have a positive attitude with it.
You guys can follow him on Twitter at @TaylorToJump. Christian Taylor. Christian, I really appreciate your insight expertise on it. Best of luck as you continue moving forward. Thanks for giving us some time.
Thanks so much, Jason. Stay healthy.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, which are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. And I get it. I mean, I love Christian's expertise on this, talking a little bit about he thinks that the decision could have been made faster. The only thing that I continue to think in my mind is when you're talking about a global pandemic and we're talking about a world that, like, let's just be honest, 2 weeks ago, did we think we'd be where we are right now? It feels like everything has changed so drastically. Now, in fairness, as I've made very clear abundantly over and over and over again, I'm certainly not a political guy, right? So maybe these things were out here and I just wasn't as aware as I should have been coming in. But it feels like society as a whole in the last 2 to 3 weeks, day to day, has changed drastically. And as we change drastically and we react to that, all we could do is take the new information we have today and understand that that information may be different than it was yesterday, react to the information we get, and make the best decisions we possibly can. I think that's why leagues at the least have been cautious in making these decisions, because they have long-term ramifications. Look at the NHL, which today announced that they're going to be asking league employees to take a 20% pay cut. So when you start talking about what it means for businesses and the leagues particularly, they're careful and cautious to cancel because it has a financial ramification, whether we like to talk about that part or not. So I don't necessarily fault the Olympic Committee for taking their time and making sure that this is what they absolutely had to do. Now they've made that decision. We know that the Olympics will be in 2021. I want to get your thoughts on it. Tristan in Pittsburgh, thanks for calling. What's your take on the Olympic postponement?
So here's the thing that I have been listening to you, and Max and you were right and wrong for different reasons. I don't think Adam Silver should be praised at all for making this decision, but I don't think the Olympic Committee should be praised for taking their time either. The facts are we've known about this and the way that it progresses exponentially since even before January. And so the idea that somebody was in denial for longer than somebody else and should be praised for going into the acceptance phase sooner than somebody else, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Which, great, Adam Silver was the first person. That's fine, but it doesn't make him any less in denial than most of America was about how this virus is going to affect us going forward. The facts are we've had the information based on what the rest of the globe was doing and the way they were reacting to it. And we knew how it was going to happen here. We just were in denial about that for whatever reason, whether it be politics or business. But I don't think anybody should be praised for closing down faster than somebody else. And honestly, I agree with Christian. The Olympic Committee could have made this decision quite a bit sooner, whether or not there was business involved or not. Health is more important than the business here. And so just because they're in denial for longer than somebody else doesn't make them right or wrong.
I appreciate your take on it. Thanks for calling the show. You guys can chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jason on Twitter says, you need to stop the diatribe against Adam Silver. First, he acted immediately once he had documented cases. Secondly, it was an unwavering decision. Your incredulous evaluation is based on hindsight. I've tried your show multiple times. Go back to music. I'll address each of those, Jason. Number one, I don't need to stop the diatribe because, as you just said, he acted immediately once he had documented cases. So he acted the same way I believe any commissioner or any head of any sport would have acted once they had documented cases. So that in and of itself is part of my point. I'm not going to praise somebody for being first when, in fact, your hand was forced. Secondly, it was an unwavering decision. Of course it was an unwavering decision, Jason, because he had a documented case. But as I've said multiple times, if a ref had run out before an NCAA game making the same exact motions to stop a basketball game, we would have destroyed the NBA. Instead, we continue to praise Adam Silver. Third, your incredulous evaluation is based on hindsight. That's what we do in this business largely. And fourth, I've tried your show multiple times. Go back to music. That's tired, Jason. I will say this, and I will say this proudly. I've been with ESPN full-time with sports for multiple years. I have a multi-year contract. I have multiple Emmy nominations at this point, and I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm a 13-time Grammy-nominated musician. I won't hide from that, but don't tell me to go back to music when I've been quite successful at what I'm doing here. In the meantime, if you're going to trash me, have the guts to call me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm tired of you being soft and hiding behind your keyboard. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. I'm fired up today. I'm a beacon of light. I'm trying to bring positivity. Ooh, some of you guys are making this different. Woo! Oh, man. All right, coming up, a former MVP has been released. It's not shocking. Hear what First Take had to say about it, and you can hear that next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Again, some headlines. We're going to give you headlines as often as we can just so you know what's going on around the world. And obviously, one of the big ones, we're getting your take on. The Olympics have been postponed for a year. Yesterday, it was a rumor. Today, it is official. They will take place in Tokyo in 2021. We'll keep breaking that down. And also, the other big piece of news, Cam Newton is going to be released, according to sources. They told Adam Schefter he will be released by the Panthers. So day after the Panthers were able to trade their backup quarterback in Kyle Allen for a fifth-round draft pick, now they're going to have to release Cam Newton. I want to get some of your take, by the way. You guys have a lot to say about the Olympics. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get some of your take on the Olympic postponement since you guys want to chime in on that. But first, I want you to hear a little what they had to say today on First Take as Max and Stephen A. talked about the release of the former NFL MVP, Cam Newton.
I don't even understand why this is breaking news. He's been gone from the moment they decided they were bringing Teddy Bridgewater there. I mean, we all knew. I mean, what is this, a foregone conclusion? I mean, breaking news. To me, this is damn near tantamount to the Cavs hiring B-Line as their coach. I'll never forget when Get Up came on the air, Swagoo, and they were like, yo, breaking news. You know, John B-Line is the new coach for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And I was
going like this. Is LeBron James in Cleveland? Who gives a damn about the Cavaliers? And oh, by the way, B-Line, you know, in Michigan, sure. But in the pros, like, who cares? Nobody cares. They ain't breaking news. And this stuff with Cam Newton, even though Cam Newton is obviously a name with cachet, and we still believe he can ball, and he's only 31 years of age, the bottom line is the moment that Rule and the crew in Carolina decided that Teddy Bridgewater was going to be their new quarterback, Cam Newton was gone. He's gone. Ain't nothing to talk about here. No big deal.
Yeah, but it is news.
We all know he was going. It's just a matter. Now, it'll be big news when we hear where he's going. But he's been going from Carolina for a few days now. This is just another attitude.
Normally, you'd be right about that. In this case, because it's a foregone conclusion, in other words. But in this case, it deserves a moment for us just to acknowledge what just happened. The end of the Cam Newton era in Carolina is here. That's significant because Cam is not just a guy who had potential. I wonder what could happen. Cam achieved the position among his peers. His peers voted him the best football player in the world at one point. And he won the MVP that year. And he took his team to the Super Bowl. And they had a chance to win it.
It's First Take, your take on ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're going to get some expertise on this as Cam Newton, it looks like, is being released by the Panthers. So we'll head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where we're joined again by ESPN Panthers reporter David Newton. I always say, when you want good news, find people you trust to give it to you. David Newton is one of those. So we're going to get the Cam insight from David. David, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. What's your reaction? I mean, I know we're not shocked as a whole, but now that we see that Cam is going to be released, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's kind of the reality of the situation. I wrote last year after they shut him down for the season that likely was the last time you'll see Cam Newton take a snap for the Carolina Panthers. And all the reasons I stated back then are all the reasons that are led to the moment we're at right now. Fans, I think, were somewhat braced for it, but some of them really weren't. I was on social media kind of interacting with a few of them. And, you know, it's interesting what's going to be missed here because Cam was such an iconic figure. He went beyond what he did on the football field for the Panthers. I mean, he was a guy through his foundation that fed thousands and thousands of kids for Thanksgiving, did great giveaways during Christmas. His giveaway of footballs at games after he scored touchdowns is – the dab became like a national phenomenon back in 2015. So, Cam, if he's healthy, some team's going to get a great quarterback. But again, that's a big unknown. And the Panthers are just in a position they had to move on from him. So reaction's been kind of mixed. But again, a lot of this was expected.
David, how much of this was health related in your opinion?
I think a large part of it was, but it's not totally. I mean, I think with a new regime in here that they wanted to move on with their own people. And again, a financial part had to come into play too. I mean, he's going to be 31 in May. If he's healthy and can play, I mean, he's going to demand a big deal in the 30, 35, or maybe even close to $40 million a year range. And for a team that's trying to rebuild and do what they're doing here in Carolina, that's a lot of money to dedicate to a quarterback that's going to be 31, and you just don't know, with all the hits he's taken over his career, just how many more he can take. I mean, his history of injuries the last 3 or 4 years, what, 2 surgeries on his shoulder, the Liz Frank injury, it's just kind of mounted up to the point where I just don't think they could trust that situation. So while that doesn't speak to the current injury, I think it speaks to the broader picture of injuries in general, or what kind of drove the team to make this move.
We're talking to ESPN Panthers reporter David Newton. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. David, Cam was more than just, to your point, for the community, he was more than just a football player, but he's also a superstar. He's the type of person that the league gravitates to, and he's a face that sort of is recognizable. So he makes a franchise relevant. Who can replace him in that level for the Panthers league-wide to be sort of a reason for relevance?
It's funny. A few years ago, I thought it was interesting that the Panthers had 2 faces of the organization, Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly. I think Cam was a little bit ahead of Luke on that, but a lot of teams, I looked around the league, I mean, like the Jets and the Cleveland Browns back then, you couldn't even find one player you could say was a face of the team. Yeah, now Kuechly's gone. Now Cam's gone. I think the face of the team is the face that took over last year was Christian McCaffrey. And again, they've got to make a decision moving forward on him too. How long they want him to be the face of this franchise? He's got, you know, 1 more season left on his contract. They could use the 5th-year option on him. They could transition or franchise tag him after that, but I don't think they move forward unless they go ahead and get a new deal with Christian McCaffrey. And even there, there's a slight bit. I don't think they'll move on from him, but slight bit of uncertainty there, because that's a lot of money to dedicate to a running back. And with the history of running backs and injuries around the league, you could almost understand if they were to make a decision to move on from there. But I think Christian is that guy. He's a guy fans like. He's a very marketable guy. And he's been really durable so far. And as you saw last year, he became the third player in NFL history to have 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in the same season. He's a guy that's going to draw a lot of attention to this team and could help make them relevant down the line. The question is, how long is that going to take? Because if you look what they've done in free agency so far this year with mostly young players, I think the first 9 players they signed were 27 years and younger, all the 1 to 3 year deals. Not players you'd recognize, a lot of them, without going to Google. I had to use Google for a few of them. So it's going to be a year or two of losing probably for this franchise before they turn things around. So, again, Christian's going to be that face until they get there. But, again, 3 years from now, who knows how good he'll be because of all the banging hits he's going to take over that time.
Kyle Allen was traded to the Redskins. A lot of us thought that Cam might head to a reunion with Ron Rivera. Instead, Kyle Allen goes there for a 5th-round pick. Who's Kyle Allen to the Redskins in your mind?
Wow. I mean, he's a guy that Ron Rivera is familiar with, that really liked, that he came in and he won his first 4 games this year and first 5 starts overall. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, he could be the guy to replace Cam Newton, and then things kind of fell apart. And I think those expectations were way too much. But I think he's a guy that just offers at least some solid NFL starts as a backup right now. I think they're still going to focus on the future with Dwayne Haskins and see where that goes. But I thought Cam and Dwayne would have made a kind of interesting combination if Dwayne could have sat on the bench for a year or two and learned. The problem is that Cam's not a guy that's thinking about, in 2 years, you could replace me. So that probably is a hard marriage to make work out.
You guys can follow him on Twitter, D Newton ESPN, at D Newton ESPN. David Newton, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us, and stay safe.
Appreciate it. Stay safe. Yes, thank you.
You know, it's going to be interesting to keep all eyes on that. I still think Cam's a good fit in L.A. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Let's get a little of your take in real quick. Wally in Missouri, what's your take on the Olympics being postponed? Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I think they got it right. I think, you know, we take into consideration that there's a lot of different moving parts when it comes to the Olympics. I mean, it's not just America. There's different countries. There's different organizations in regards to the different basketball, swimming, track and field. We don't know what was going on behind the scenes, what conversations were had. They took their time. They got it right. I don't think we need to say, oh, well, they should have just jumped on board with whatever the NBA decided or what, you know, whatever this person decided. We don't know what conversations were being had, but there's a lot more at stake, and they took their time and got it right.
I appreciate your take on it. I don't disagree with that. Thanks for calling the show. You guys can keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ultimately, as much as we're talking about the timing of it, the most important thing is that they got it right, that they at this point have postponed the Olympics till 2021. We'll keep taking your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, Tom Brady officially spoke for the first time as a Buccaneer. You'll hear from him, and we'll do that next. First, take your take on the ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour of the show, go check it out. It's on demand for the First Take Your Take podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. Shameless plug, by the way, today. You can check out Twitter at Jason Fitz. I'll get a link out there at about 3:30 today, starting today. Mike Olick Jr. and I will be doing a show together every day on YouTube at 3:30, from 3:30 to 4. You can check us out, hanging out. We'll go over some of the big news of the day, and we'll also go over some general fun thoughts. 3:30 to 4 Eastern on YouTube every day. I'll tweet out the link. It'll be there Monday through Friday for you. For the first time today, we heard from Tom Brady as he's now joined the Bucs. He had his press conference, and at this point, we got a little bit of sense of what Brady's expectations are. I want you to hear it.
You know, the expectation for me is to come in and do what, you know, I feel is, you know, right for, you know, the organization. That's to be a great team player. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to get up to speed with all the things that I need to do and what my responsibilities are. I obviously have a ton of trust and respect in, for Coach Arians, you know, for what Jason and what he's done to build the team and organization as is now. And, you know, I'm thankful to the Glazer family to give me an opportunity. And as I said the other day, I look forward to meeting all my teammates and just doing everything I can to for us to achieve what we set out. And there's a lot of things that go into it. And, you know, as soon as we can get those things going, the great will be for everybody. But understanding the circumstance of what we're dealing with, we're in a little different approach and we have to adjust. That's what happens in football and in life, and that's what my plan is.
It's no secret the Bucs haven't won many games in the last decade plus. A lot of change too. What gave you the confidence to know that Tampa Bay was the right place for you?
Well, I don't want to get into every process decision I was making at the time, but there are a lot of things that really were intriguing to me about the organization and, you know, the players and the coaches and, you know, the willingness of everyone to try to, you know, accomplish what the goal of playing football is, which is to win. So, you know, I'm going to try to do everything I can in my position and what I'm responsible for to make that happen. And, you know, I've got to trust that everyone else is doing the exact same thing. So in that part, it's no different from, you know, what I've experienced, for 20 years in my own role.
I have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day, or whenever that was, when you left, stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, again, I'm not responsible for, how other people will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, two decades, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family, and I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, my entire career, but at the same time, I'm excited for, this opportunity that I have. And, I can only speak to how I feel. And, I wrote about that in my social media the other day. And, this was getting to be a free agent and, having the opportunity to join the Bucs was something that I was really excited about. And that's where we're at. That's why we're at where we're at.
Tom Brady's sort of avoiding any of that, getting in the middle of that. We're brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN News. Benny from Virginia, you got a take on Brady. You want to get in here? What's your take? Did we lose Benny? Going once? Going twice? We tried our best. Okay, we'll move forward. We're always trying to let you guys get your take in. Several of you guys have a take on the Olympics. Reggie in Atlanta, what's your take on the postponement of the Olympics?
Yes, sir. So my take is that I don't understand the outrage that, Stephen A. and Max Kellerman had towards the IOC. It's 4 months away. Now, this is a very fluid situation. We can have, time to sit back, think about things. But, it doesn't start till July 24th, if my understanding was correct. So, we can take our time with these decisions. The IOC maybe ultimately did the right decision. Only time will tell. But what is your views on it?
No, I totally, Reggie, thanks for your take on it. I appreciate it. And I agree. Look, we have to understand, and this is the biggest thing that really hits me. Again, I'll go back to a couple of weeks ago. I remember where I was. We all do. The night that the NBA came to a screeching halt, and you're sitting there. The day before that, we were having conversations about whether or not they might play games in front of nobody. What would it look like? Now, all of a sudden, just a couple of weeks later, we're looking around the sports landscape and we're all pretending that we're scientists and doctors and we've got this all figured out. Look, at some point, you have to look at it and say, okay, what's realistic? What's it look like we're coming to? And what do we absolutely know? And that changes by the minute. That changes by the day. Could you imagine if the Olympic Committee had canceled and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, they find out that that might not have been necessary? Then there'd be outrage that they moved too soon. And why would they do this to Tokyo and blah, blah, blah? Like, it's a lose-lose situation for everybody that's trying to figure out how to move forward. And we can all say health is the most important part of it. But we also have to acknowledge through it all, every single day, our scope of knowledge changes. So what's wrong with everybody taking their time and making calculated, real decisions? The one thing we don't want to do is jump to action, find out that we didn't have to or that it was the wrong action. I'm not going to fault the Olympic Committee because eventually they got it right. We're going to keep speaking to Olympians, plus a Hall of Famer joining us with some words about Brady. That's next. First Take, Your Take.